Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be rolling out season four. I've drawn from real-life practices of real-life cults and crafted a story that puts one sensitive Florida statute in the foggy area between personal responsibility and mind control. This is the trial of Lola Adams. From Alice in Wonderland. Everything's got a moral, if only you can find it. Mind control is a paradox to us. We all know it exists. We all know it's powerful. And yet we all know that it could never happen to us. It's funny. When a disease is spreading, we feel vulnerable. When a killer is on the loose, we think we could be victimized. When terrorists strike, we're afraid. But though there are innumerable destructive cults plaguing our world, implementing scientifically proven psychological manipulations, we feel invincible. After all, we are in control of our own minds. And that control could never be taken from us. Right?
People have been calling in all week with questions about the Adams trial. Joining us today is court reporter Joe Stevens. Joe, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So what is Lola Adams' story? We know she shot her husband point blank with a 9mm handgun that she admittedly bought for that purpose. What exactly is her defense?
Well, her defense is that she was under the influence of mind control at the time she committed the murder. Florida Statute 776.012 explains justifiable use of deadly force, and that is what the defense is hanging its hat on. It states, a person is justified in using deadly force if he or she reasonably believes that using such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself or another. Lola Adams claims she was the victim of a cult that controlled her mind. She says that the doctrine of the cult, the Temple of Contemplative Science, taught her that if anyone left the group, countless lives would be lost. Her husband, the victim, was planning to leave, and so to protect countless lives, she shot him. I know, it sounds unimaginable, but that's what this whole case is about. Was it reasonable for Lola to believe murder was necessary to prevent death and bodily harm to others? The defense claims that because she was under the influence of mind control, she held a reasonable belief. So, if you believe that she was mind controlled, she's innocent. If you don't, she's guilty.
Well, my first question is, isn't it Lola's fault for joining a cult in the first place?
She says she didn't know it was a cult. She went to a meditation retreat and then, you know, got involved with the organization that ran it.
The Temple of Contemplative Science.
Yes.
But it was meditation they were practicing, which sounds harmless enough.
Right. Well, that's the state's contention. The state contends that the Temple of Contemplative Science, or TCS, was not a cult. It did not control the mind of Lola Adams, and as such, she is fully accountable for her husband's murder. Although, with regards to meditation, it's worth noting, the defense cited multiple cults around the world that do use meditation and other hypnosis techniques to indoctrinate their members.
I wish we had time to get into all of those, but we are running a bit behind.
Okay, well, the nuts and bolts of the whole thing are these. Lola Adams claims she joined a cult and was the victim of mind control. She gave up her career, her money, former marriage, to devote herself to the temple. She married another temple member, Kyle Adams. Kyle went through a deprogramming and decided to leave TCS. Because temple doctrine spells disaster for the world if anyone leaves, Lola killed him. She says she was deprogrammed in jail and believes the temple should be held accountable for what she did.
And what does the temple say?
That she is a murderer.
The prosecutor in the Adams trial is a man named Jeffrey Rhodes. He's an intellectual, collecting degrees in philosophy and European studies before committing himself to the law. He wears shirts so impressively starched that even his habit of continuously chewing number two pencils didn't detract from his professionalism.
On October 5th, Lola Adams bought a 9mm handgun and hid it in her sock drawer. 5 days later, she took the handgun to the kitchen and shot her husband in the back. This is the coldest act of domestic murder I've ever tried in my 11 years as a prosecutor. Lola was not at gunpoint. She was not in immediate fear of her life. She was not instructed by anyone, including the Temple of Contemplative Science or its leader, Ty Byman, to shoot her husband. She was a free woman, capable of free thought, capable of making her own decisions. She knew the difference between right and wrong, and she murdered her husband.
Sage Watkins is Lola's defense attorney. A staunch defender of human rights, Sage Watkins devotes a higher percentage of her caseload to pro bono than anyone else in the district. Ms. Watkins approached Lola's mother about a pro bono defense when she heard the circumstances of Lola's crime and arrest. A passionate woman, the enthusiasm of Sage Watkins' arguments is underscored by the bold colors and statement pieces she wears to court. Paired always with a curious choice of sandals, which she insists makes her feel grounded while arguing with irrational people under irrational circumstances.
Lola knew the difference between right and wrong? Really? I can't fathom how Mr. Rhodes reached that conclusion. This is a woman who believed that her daily meditative practices were changing the world. Medical breakthroughs, the election of our first black president, efforts in humanitarian aid, she attributed them all to her group, to the work of TCS. Temple doctrine, and I'm putting both those words in quotes, taught her that by allowing her husband to leave the group, she was jeopardizing the safety of the temple, the earth, and mankind. She truly believed that killing Kyle Adams was the only thing to do. So no, she didn't know the difference between right and wrong.
No one is saying that the Temple of Contemplative Science is a wholly rational organization. They've got some pretty far out beliefs, in my opinion. But not only is it the right of every religious group to practice freely, it's the responsibility of every individual to think for themselves and follow the law. Miss Adams made choices. She chose to kill her husband.
There was no choice. That is the entire point. Cult expert Stella Laughlin will testify that if you control a person's behavior, you control their information, you control their thoughts, and you control their emotions, all of which we will prove Ty Byman did to my client. You control that person. In totality, there is no choice. There can't be. That's what mind control is.
Stella Laughlin, key witness for the defense in the Adams trial, joins us now. Hello, Stella.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity to be on the show. My life's work is alerting the public to the danger and prevalence of destructive cults, so as unfortunate as this tragedy is, the silver lining is that this trial is alerting people now to the dangers mind control poses all around us. And I'm honored to bring my expertise to the table in these discussions.
We are honored to have you, Ms. Laughlin. Let's start at the beginning because I think terms are getting conflated. What is a cult?
A destructive cult is a group that violates and abuses their members through the use of unethical mind control.
And how common are they?
Far more common than people realize. There are over 3,000 destructive cults in the U.S. alone, and they're directly affecting upwards of 3 million people.
Wow.
Yes, it's an enormous problem that's grossly under-discussed and misunderstood.
Misunderstood how?
Well, there are many kinds of cults. Most people only picture religious cults with some guru at a podium. They picture members having robes and shaved heads. And sure, sometimes destructive cults look like that, but not most of the time. There are four types. There are religious cults, the ones we're most familiar with. Political cults, ISIS would be an example of this, any fringe extremist group that controls its members. There are psychotherapy cults that promise psychological enlightenment, bait followers with varying forms of hypnotic euphoria, and eventually fleece them. And then there are commercial cults.
What are commercial cults?
The most common examples would be sweatshop labor or human trafficking. People are manipulated into servitude and then controlled and coerced into believing they can't leave.
I see.
It's a universal problem that impacts countless people, all because of the destructive and unethical use of mind control. This is a problem our communities need to wake up to and address.
I see your passion. Let me ask you, in your professional opinion, was TCS a cult?
Without a doubt. It embodies every one of the core aspects of a destructive cult, all of which I outlined at trial.
And is Lola Adams guilty of murder?
No. In my opinion, no. No.
You will not find any legitimate professional that argues mind control doesn't exist. No psychiatrist, no social scientist, no historian. Mind control is very real and very destructive. There are universal patterns in any implementation of mind control. There are universal results. Mind control is not only real, it can destroy your livelihood, your relationships, your life. And everyone is vulnerable.
Lola Adams' ex-husband was outspoken on social media, even hosting an AMA on Reddit about his marriage to the murder defendant. He tried charging money to local networks for interviews, although those pitches were not accepted. The following is an excerpt from an interview conducted by Marley Kaiser from the Gainesville Star.
Mr. Miller, how shocked were you when you heard the news that your ex-wife had murdered her second husband?
You know, I wish I could say I was more surprised. I wish I could say I was shocked, you know? But I can't. The truth is, she was always erratic.
Erratic how?
Emotional. Angry. Like it always had to be a fight. And it had to be my fault, you know? And then after she left me, she fought tooth and nail for everything I had.
Was she ever violent during your marriage?
Well, I mean, what's violent? She threw a coffee cup at me once.
Were you scalded?
No. There wasn't coffee in it at the time, but it still hurt.
Did it break or result in visible injury?
No, it was a disposable cup, but it was aggressive is the point.
Yes, I'm sorry.
His outspoken detestation for his ex-wife didn't make him an ideal witness at trial. Nonetheless, the defense did call him to speak to his wife's changes in personality shortly before their divorce. His was not the only account of Lola Adams shared online and in the media. Friends, acquaintances, and family members rose from the woodwork to share their opinions of Lola's character and state of mind.
I saw Lola every day she came into the coffee shop. She didn't get coffee, though. She ordered peppermint tea and would get this hand-rolled coconut ball we make there. She was really sweet and always did this head bob thing when she said thank you and pay. I just assumed she was a yoga mom.
Yeah, we were friends in high school. Best friends in high school. We stayed in touch for many years. But once she joined TCS, she stopped writing me back. Email, Facebook, it didn't matter. She wouldn't write back. One day, I wrote her this long email calling her out on it. And just directly asking, why'd she cut me out? And I got a response from her temple saying that due to my anti-religious leanings, it was in Lola's best interest to cease contact with me. I didn't know what they were talking about. I went back through my Facebook feed, and the only thing I could find was an article I shared years ago about how churches who encouraged political contributions should be taxed. I mean, the whole thing was really weird.
Regardless of the prolific accounts from her personal contacts, media interest did not warrant sequestration of Lola Adams' jury, according to her judge. Jurors attended the four-week trial every day and then went home to their families and personal lives. While they didn't endure the rigorous challenges of a hotel sequestration, unsequestered jurors faced their own set of challenges. Pressures to not speak with their families or friends, limitations on their exposure to media, and public demand to vote one way or another all contribute to a building pressure that can only be alleviated by one thing.
Jurors are convening for the first time. Stay tuned as we await breaking updates.
Deliberations start today.
Usually on this show, you hear from the defendant last. Not this season. You will hear directly from the defendant, Lola Adams, every episode. as she chronicles her introduction to TCS, her journey through its ranks, and her eventual decision to end her husband's life.
I loved my husband so much. And killing him was the hardest thing I've ever done. But the idea of letting him leave, letting him live, didn't exist for us. There was no choice, I felt. I knew that if he left the group, it would spell destruction.
You will hear from experts about the breakdown of cult psychology, the fearful yet comforting descent into indoctrination. Can a healthy, balanced individual fall victim to mind control?
The idea that anyone could be brainwashed into becoming a puppet is absurd. One's agency is not stolen so easily. And if you're on the fence, just ask yourself, could it happen to you?
Could it?
My name is Lola Adams. I live at 319 Lakeland Ave. I've just shot my husband. He's dead. Please come immediately.
Hello? Did you just say you've shot your husband, ma'am?
Yes. I shot my husband. He's dead.
Do you know that he's dead? Ma'am, can you check his vitals for me?
No.
I can walk you through it, ma'am. Can you reach your husband's body right now?
No. Yes, I can reach his body, but I waited until I confirmed he was dead before placing this call.
We're all looking for ways to improve our health, and one fundamental way to do that is through vitamins. I've tried my whole life to stick with a vitamin regimen, and I've never succeeded. For one, I lack the knowledge to build a comprehensive regimen that's right for me and my health goals, and two, I've never gotten into the routine of taking them consistently. Care of is my newest sponsor, and they're fantastic. It's a monthly subscription service that personalizes a vitamin regimen to you and your needs, and then they deliver them to your door in sealed envelopes to be opened and taken daily. Easy peasy. I went online to subscribe, and they started by having me do a quiz about my diet, health goals, lifestyle, things like that. It took about 5 minutes, and then they took my answers from that quiz and designed a whole program for me. When this vitamin program arrived at my house, I loved it. First of all, it's really practical and easy. It's in a tall box that stands in your cabinet with a little slot at the bottom where you take out your daily envelopes of vitamins. And on your daily vitamins, Care of prints quotations, factoids, aspirational sayings, thought-provoking questions, a bunch of really interesting and sweet things like that, day by day. It helped ritualize vitamin taking for me. And now I reliably do it, and it makes the process more uplifting. It's easy, it's convenient, vegan and vegetarian options are available, and a portion of every sale goes towards the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. I love this idea. I love this company. And if you want to up your vitamin game, you're going to love it too. Right now, you can still take advantage of this month's special New Year's offer. For 50% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter Deliberations50. Again, for 50% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter Deliberations50. Takecareof.com, Deliberations50.
Well, 4 weeks and we're here.
Tight.
This is what they give us.
It's so creepy in here.
I know, it's a little bit of a...
Is anyone else feeling a little claustrophobic? Yeah.
Yeah.
My God.
It's We'll get used to it.
I'm okay.
Natural light would help.
We got water, coffee. I'm all right.
Yeah, electric kettle. Air is...
I really miss working right now, though. I'm getting pretty restless.
We're only just getting started here,
yeah,
I think.
I know.
Well, just as long as we focus on making a good decision, that's all I'm concerned with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we have to elect a foreman.
Okay.
I'd like to nominate Francis. I think he'd be a good leader.
Ah, I think so, too. Thank you.
I think I'll nominate Alex.
Yeah, I'll second that. You seem really calm, kind of level-headed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with Alex. Oriented. We can vote if you guys want to vote.
Do you want to hear some of the arguments as to why? I mean, I would like to hear why Alex is, you know, why he thinks he should.
Well, do you think you should be?
Well, to be honest with you, yeah. I think that...
Why?
Well, there are certain things that I can bring to the table as far as... delegation, you know, as a firefighter, as a lieutenant, it's operations and firefighting. So it's really a matter of, you know, got to know your demographics. You got to know where to start. You got to know how everything is planned. Facts are very, very important. So I think that really focusing on getting to the facts of this case is crucial. And you can't rule anything out.
Firefighting is a life and death situation. You can't miss on that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, Alex, first of all, are you willing to be the foreman?
I am willing to be the foreman. I'm comfortable with that position. Uh-huh. I've always thought that the best leaders are the ones that don't jump at the opportunity whenever anybody asks to be a leader. So thank you for nominating me, but I think I would do a very good job at it. One of the reasons why is because as an alcohol distributor, I'm constantly working in teams of people. You know, making deliveries to liquor stores, making deliveries to restaurants, constantly need to work together with people as to how to get to a consensus to an end game. And I think our end game here is to go through every single piece of evidence that we went over in this trial to come up with the best verdict possible.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
That sounds fair.
Well, I'm willing to go with whoever has voted fairly. Why don't we take a vote?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, everybody in favor of Alex?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool cucumber.
Four. I'll vote for myself,
four
to too.
Four.
Four. Okay.
Vote
right.
For Francis.
I'll accept that.
Alex. Against you, Francis.
Oh. Alex is foreman.
Not that we don't need firefighters or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell me your address. I might not know.
Well, Colin's sick that day.
So, since we're in the mood of taking votes, I think I really need to get it. We really need to get a good sense of where we stand as a jury on this verdict. That's our job. Okay, we always got to be focused on our job, which is to get to a fair verdict. So, I am going to go ahead and start by asking each of you, starting with Shane, where you stand. Guilty or not guilty?
I mean, personally, I don't think she's guilty. I don't think... I mean, she's even just listening to... Just to listen to her talk, it just doesn't even sound like she was in the right mind of state to be making these choices. And I don't know, it all seems very emotional to me right now, and I just...
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
I just don't think she did it, so I don't know.
Appreciate it. Banks?
Thanks.
I actually do agree with Shane. I think she's not guilty. I think that she has been heavily affected by mind control and the power of the temple of contemplative science.
That's fine. Francis?
Well, I mean, I don't get mind control. There's no evidence.
Guilty or not guilty?
While I understand there are not some parts, I've forgotten some of the trial. I've forgotten some of the evidence, so going through it again. But to answer your question, I feel that she's... guilty, because you have choice.
Thanks, Francis. Campbell?
I'm frankly very conflicted. I'm open to hearing everybody's thoughts, but I'm... basically, we're relying on what Lola said. Nobody was there. Nobody can tell us
exactly what happened or what she was thinking. We're supposed to base this on her testimony, and there's no witness. There's no corroboration. And so I'm I've seen what emotion and passion can do to people. I've seen so many children who've come in trying to commit suicide.
Alex, are we going with guilty
career,
or not guilty?
So guilty or not guilty, Campbell?
I'm leaning towards guilty.
That's fine. And don't worry, once we get through this part of it, we'll be able to hash things out. I just need to know where we all stand as a team. Okay. Where are we, Van?
Initially, I would go with the guilty, but I would listen, like Campbell said, I would listen to other testimony or review the testimony and base it on fact and not hearsay.
Yeah. Here's why I kind of wanted to hear straight up whether you guys could say guilty or not guilty. It's because I can't. I'm telling you guys right now, I am completely undecided on this. So the fact that you guys were able to come up to a decision, bravo. I can't. I'm really, really conflicted about this. And we as a team need to go through every single piece of evidence that was presented at this trial.
Agreed.
And make sure that we analyze it and discuss it as a team. But, you know, I really appreciate you guys stepping up and coming up with some kind of a verdict.
Can I say something, by the way?
I'm fine to turn it, you know, back to why you guys came to your decision, and I'm happy. Go ahead, Francis. Go right ahead.
Well, understand that what Campbell just said about us not being there is absolutely true. Eyewitness testimony is the worst form of evidence because we weren't there. So we need to look at every other piece of evidence prior to the eyewitness evidence.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would like to add to what Francis said is that much of what we heard, especially from Lola, is not based on a realistic perception of her environment. A lot of her testimony was actually countered by other people who were part of TCS.
Right.
So she,
what do you mean?
She said, first of all, there was a comment about countless lives will mm-hmm. be jeopardized. Nobody ever says, how are they jeopardized? Does TCS have an atomic weapon? Is TCS going to pour chemicals into a reservoir?
Right, but you don't know what they've told her.
Yeah, they think
no one said what they told her.
The last black president.
She thinks that they're meditating to get a president elected. I wouldn't be surprised if they told her that they do have a bomb or something. I mean,
but you don't have that.
But
No. Evidence. No, hold on. Right, evidence. Evidence. You just did a conjecture.
But then if you're saying evidence,
don't assume. You can't do a hypothesis here.
But then you're assuming that her words are
evidence. No assumptions.
But if you're saying that her not saying something is evidence, then you're assuming that what she is saying is also then by default evidence.
No. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that countless others will be jeopardized is not a fact. There's no reasonable proof.
No. Wait. Hold on a second. Wait. Let's be a little bit fair here, okay? This whole entire thing comes down. Francis, this whole thing comes down to whether or not she had a reasonable belief that the harm was going to come to herself or to somebody else,
that's
okay?
That's my point.
I understand that's your point, but that at the end of the day, either we're going to decide that she had a reasonable belief, so we need to understand her mindset. We need to go through every single witness that discussed her well-being at that particular time and figure out whether or not she had a reasonable belief. That's what one of the major things that we're going to do here. And I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. It's just a little claustrophobic in here. The leaf blower makes me want to go outside and like go garden or something. I'm like,
we can hear the garden.
I want to see him, but I can't. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, Francis. You were going to say something. Go ahead.
No, actually, I was looking at you because, you know, are you questioning that you were going to be a good foreman?
All right, well, we've already elected our foreman, so let's not dilly-dally on that.
It's water over the dam.
That was a good question. I like that. That's very, very good. Yes, I'm going to do a great job.
Okay.
I'd like to say something on what you were just saying.
I appreciate that.
I trust you.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be a black and white sentence or piece of evidence that's going to be able to prove her mindset, because right. I think that the whole idea of a cult or a church or a organizational group, whatever it, you define it as, that she gets into, I think okay. it's an assumed, you know, continuation of messages and emotion, and that's what I guess then comes back to the control idea.
Well, let's go through that really quick. Let me ask you guys a question really quick. TCS, mm-hmm. who here thinks, by way of a vote, just tell me, who here thinks it is a cult?
100%.
I'm not convinced, man.
Okay, why? Please. Because it, please.
Well, even if it was, though, I'm not convinced, first of all, but even if it was, I have to blame Lola for pulling the trigger in the first place.
No, you just said even I if it agree. Was. We're asking, no, the question was, do you believe that TCS, okay, let's go back out even further. That's well, a very good question.
Yeah, I'll answer that. Do I believe in cults? I believe that two people can be a cult, because you can agree on one thing.
So then by default you would believe in cults.
Whatever you call it, a cult, a religion, a relationship, something. They had a conglomerate.
Okay, so then if you believe in that, then why don't you believe that TCS is that they have a conglomerate or a connection or sharing one mutual idea of ideas?
Well, it's just like anybody.
Are any of your firehouses, are those cults sometimes? I mean, I know you guys
would classify it as a cult, or maybe not. You know,
well, any church,
anything could be any connection.
So you believe? So you do believe in cults? Let's just start from there. Do you believe in cults?
I believe that we have labeled things as cults. I believe that.
Can I just say something on Francis's point too?
Sure.
When you mentioned that it could just be two people in a cult, the impact of that on an emotional state. My sister's in a marriage to a guy who is awful. Like, I've completely lost my connection with my sister because she's married to a guy that controls her social media, he controls her friendship group, and we used to have a great connection, and that's been destroyed, and it's affected the way that she thinks, the decisions that she makes, where she goes out, and to me, that's not my sister anymore. Her mindset has changed, and our outlook has changed.
That's an abusive relationship. I don't think that qualifies as a cult, so
I mean, abuse is some sort of mind control, a form of abuse.
Well, can we get rid of the mind control thing? Can we just focus on mind influence rather?
Yeah.
Because we can or cannot prove that there is such thing as mind control.
I mean,
hold on. Sage Watkins specifically said no legitimate professional
would ever say it's not real.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with her or not, but that's what she said.
I'm saying that in future, like, we honestly cannot prove or disprove there is such a thing as mind control. That's just us labeling what we do or do not know.
Stella Laughlin, let's go with Stella. She gave extensive testimony on cults, as she has years of experience in examining them. She talked about the different kinds and definitely labeled TCS as a destructive cult.
Let's talk about that too, as well. So that was the next thing I was going to get to. Are there cults? I think we all agree. Even Francis, in his own little way. Yes. Number two, was there mind control? Francis doesn't agree.
Cult.
Destructive cults.
Facebook could be a cult.
Is Facebook destructive?
Yes,
it can be.
Yeah, I mean, it got Trump elected.
Anything can be destructive. Water can be destructive if you drink too much of it.
There's different types.
All right, now we're just getting off topic, and this is childish.
There were four types of cults that she analyzed.
Exactly.
But don't forget, Campbell, she was a witness for the defense. Okay, the defense is trying to establish a mind control defense as to why she had a reasonable belief. So let's take everything here with a grain of salt. Let's really get behind the evidence and pick it apart.
Well, that's why I'm very conflicted because I don't necessarily agree with the defense.
Do you think ISIS is a cult?
Sure.
Francis.
You can classify it as a cult, yes.
We can't get a straight answer out of this guy.
Well, because
is ISIS a cult?
Do or do not know. I don't know if there is such a thing as a cult.
But you already
and to
said
claim that,
you that
something is or is not a cult.
Well, I don't think that is what we're here to determine. I think there's a statute. There's a statute by which they are charging her for murder.
No, that's
And that statute...
That's right. 776.012 is the Florida statute, which says that the use of deadly force can be a defense If a person is justified in using deadly force, if he or she reasonably believes that using such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm. What I'm trying to get at here,
and
people,
that's what we're trying to determine.
Reasonable
not
belief.
Whether we
correct.
Know that she is guilty of murder. She
right.
pulled the trigger. There
that's
is
right.
no doubt.
I will answer your question then.
Thank you.
While, okay, let me put it this way. If someone, as a firefighter, if someone makes a mistake that costs a life, they are responsible. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Okay.
Because it doesn't excuse either, you know, the choice or the action that you take. If we are going to label, let's say, firefighting as a cult because we want to try and go save lives. I'm trying to get people to understand where I'm coming from.
Go,
if you can listen and not you know, roll your eyes, because to me that's telling me that you're not listening.
I agree with him. Give him the floor.
So, my job is to try and save lives. As a cult leader, as a lieutenant for the firefighter, if I believe that someone's life is at stake, I'm going to do what's necessary to go and try and save their life. What we have been taught as a firefighting crew, the actionable steps that we can take in order to achieve that goal of either saving a life or whatever we can do to try and save that goal. Well, so I'm trying to compare.
Wait, hold on.
I'm trying. Yeah.
I have to say, like, I really think you just drew an incredible parallel there.
Me too.
Like, you just told us that you are bred in this room with other men to have this certain trained, or women, you know, firewomen,
people.
I don't want to discriminate, but that you are trained in this certain kind of mentality to enact on, like, so if a fire is happening or whatever, you have a goal to save people, and you were trained to do whatever it takes to get that done. Lola is in the exact same position. She is in this cult with a group of people who are telling her these are the things that we want to accomplish.
Bunch of firefighters.
Whether it's meditating to get President Obama elected, or whether it's or killing anybody that leaves this cult in order to prevent, what was the quote? Like, like endearing damage or whatever the thing was in the statue. I don't know it off the top of my head. But it's something about imminent damage or imminent threats. And she
prevent
felt.
Prevent imminent death.
She felt that imminent
Kyle
death would
was
be coming.
The fire.
Okay, I'm going to challenge
nothing,
that. Because
nothing,
I, hold on.
Nothing in their dogma says that there should be a death or murder to prevent.
Right. And
well,
I want to.
That's what she said, and that's what she felt. And I'm just saying, he's saying that none of this exists, and he literally just drew a parallel.
No, here, I want to add to what
I said.
Agree with
I
you.
Don't know whether or not it exists.
But you just said that that's what you guys do as firefighters.
Yes, you did.
I want to
label it.
I want to add to what
so
Francis.
So you guys understand that this kind of group think does exist. That you
I want to add to what Francis said.
You exist in an environment where you were thinking.
Wait, stop. As jury foreman, let's try.
That's bias.
Shane, give me one second. As jury foreman, let's try our best not too much to speak over people. Let's try to respect each other. Please, Van. So, Shane, are you good with making your point? I agree with your point.
Slow
Van,
it
go ahead.
Down.
So, firefighters are using reasonable thought.
Oh, my God. Why are we talking about firefighters?
Reasonable hey, because you objected to what he said.
I didn't object to what he said. I said he literally drew a parallel validating Lola's experience as a human being.
No, it doesn't.
A
no,
possibility.
It doesn't. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed
of this
one.
Doesn't validate at all. The firefighters are not told to take a life.
We're trying to save
saving lives.
Right.
And when he says we do everything we can with reasonable action that's in line alignment with the laws of the state.
I think she possibly felt that it was one life to save the entire
within reasonable
population.
Alignment of the laws of her group.
Guys,
so
listen, you're all right. You're all right.
Possibly. We're trying to determine what really happened.
Right.
And we only have her word.
Let's go back over this really quick. Lola killed her husband, period.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Why did Lola kill her husband? Because she thought that she would be saving lives by killing her husband.
Yes.
That's fine. Was it reasonable? That's what we're here for, people. Van, I thank you for bringing that up. That's why we're here. That's the evidence. Was the belief reasonable or not?
Reasonable. That's what this whole season comes down to. Is Lola's justifiable homicide defense reasonable, according to the law? We have 11 more episodes to deconstruct her state of mind and probe the Florida statute. Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and it proudly airs as part of the Audio Boom Network. Today's cast: Jury, Rudy Sallow, Jim Donnelly, Mark Smeltzer, Kate Mullum Wallace, J.P. Stanley, and Sherry Michaels. News and Courtroom: Katarina Tana, Ramondo Isam, Cindy Lopez, Jonathan Neal, Gabrielle Jarre, Megan Gillette, Hadass Lev, and Tina Carbone. On our first jury break, we're speaking with world-renowned cult expert Patrick Ryan about cultic relationships and his personal experience with transcendental meditation. Make sure you're subscribed for that. See you soon.